A solemn chair. The man seated is all alone. This seat belongs to him in this moment, and no one else. And yet he is watched. His isolation is the very purpose for this audience. What has brought them all here, separate and yet together? A life for a life, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The nature of justice is a subject that has consumed us since the time of Hammurabi and before. When humans are faced with human crimes, robbery, assault, murder, we are driven by both emotion and reason to find a righteous end to these tales of tragedy. For all of our advances in society, still we quail at the thought of that terribly recurring question. What is the trade-off, the punishment, for a life deliberately cut short? There are some who bear the burden of this question on a daily basis. One of them is Kentucky State Supreme Court Justice Bill Cunningham. As Kentucky is one of the few states, along with Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia, that still use the electric chair as a means of capital punishment, Cunningham's career as a prosecutor, judge, and justice has brought him face to face with such decisions every day. Please be warned, the following audio clip contains frank discussion of the grisly details of true events. It may not be suitable for all of our listeners.
As a trial judge, the first death penalty case I had was a special judge case, actually, out of another county I got assigned to. Terrible crime. This guy who had a prior sex record abducted this little 17-year-old senior in high school up in Greenville, Kentucky. Abducted her. She was in, had gone down to rent a videotape one night, and he saw her, and we don't know exactly how he got in her van, but some way or another he got in her van. He abducted her, took her out to a remote place that was a lake, a local lake. He raped her, cut her throat with a box cutter, and threw her in the lake where she basically drowned. He was tried. He ended up pleading guilty, but went to trial on the sentencing phase. That took about a week. Heard all kinds of evidence. Jury gave him death, and I sentenced him to death.
It is impossible to gauge what truly lies in the minds of those who find themselves in the chair, those whose stories inspire fear and unease on a much more visceral level than tales of ghosts and the supernatural. Because, as is so often noted, it could be anyone. Friends, strangers, family, lovers, men and women from all different backgrounds and lives. But in this case, they do share one thing in common. They all met their ends in Old Sparky, the electric chair. We at Fireside Mystery Theater present the following story without prejudice or agenda. Our tales of the electric chair are not meant to condemn nor condone. Rather, they are meant as an expression of our persistent exploration of the dark and unsettling, and are presented without further comment for your entertainment and consideration. Seven in the Picture was recorded live at the Slipper Room on May 27th, 2018. It was part of our show, The Electric Chair.
It was a warm day in October, unseasonably warm. I woke up in a daze from the night before, and I was positive that it had to be April. Dad was watering the plants with the garden hose. He called out to me with his back turned and said, "Haskew, old boy, by golly, what a day." I can remember that moment so clearly before it vanished forever. I could see the colors of the rainbow in the spray. I still linger on that moment, and I really couldn't tell you why. I'd give anything for a photograph of that moment with Dad.
She was waiting for me. And just for me. She could have gone with anyone else. She could have had anyone else, but she chose me, of all people. I was 22. She was only 16. I was her sweet William, and all eyes were on us. That excited look in her eyes and that pretty white dress. Oh, the flower for her hair. I picked it myself.
You would call my name, Charlie, and I'd come running. Biscuits and gravy and chicken every Sunday. How'd you do it? Really? How on earth did you do it? No, sir, I still don't know. We were so poor, but somehow you made it happen every time. We'd spend all day at church and come home to that fine smell. Why do I remember that smell most of all?
My name's Milford. Just a poor old Kentucky boy is all I ever been, all I ever will be. All I want to tell you is this. I don't think people understand. Just one act of kindness, one good deed, goes so far. Mrs. Kenner, wherever you are, I just want to say thank you. I never had the chance to thank you properly. You gave me kindness when there was so little of it to go around. I hope and pray that my words of gratitude reach you somehow.
That house, that was for you, Mother. It's a good house. Better than the one we had, but 'cause I built that house for you. Remember, Mama? I put a big sign-like tag on the front door, just like it was a big Christmas present. Wasn't it funny? To Mama, from your son, James. Built it with my own hands. I never did anything as fine as that. Yes, it's a good house. Still is.
They said you weren't gonna make it, but you showed him, didn't you? You came out of that operation like a true champion. I said you were just a little girl, that you wouldn't be tough enough to hack it, to survive. But you showed him, baby sis. Yes, you did. Your big brother Red was praying for you all along, every night and day. That's the first time I really understood the power of prayer, what prayers can do. It's gotten me through the hard times, or the hardest times, most of all.
Yeah, back at the homestead, I would just ditch the rest and just lie there on my back and stare at the stars. I would say to myself, Clarence, a lucky fool that won the sweepstakes has got nothing on you. I never felt so alone or so happy. I can't really describe how it made me feel, but if I close my eyes.
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 On Friday, July 13th, 1928, these seven men, each convicted of committing shocking and brutal murders, Clarence McQueen, James Howard, William Moore, Milford Lawson, Haskew Dockery, Charles Mitra, and Orlando Red Seymour, were executed one by one in the electric chair at the state penitentiary in Eddyville, Kentucky. Never before or since have there been that many people executed in an electric chair on a single day.
Do I regret what I've done? Well, I want to. I wish to God that I could, I really do. But I can't. No, I can't look you straight in the eye and lie to you like that.
Well, it's over and done with. What can I tell you?
That's why I had to finish him. It was the only way to stop all the screaming. But you know something? Every day I can still hear the screams. They're horrible screams. Well, it's no matter. Soon I shall hear them no more.
I got that cop I was aiming at. But the little boy, he got it too. And that's why I'm sorry for what I've done. I know what I am, and I know what I deserve. I got it coming. I'd expect the same if the same was done to me.
I can't stop asking myself, how did I get here? I still can't believe it. I never saw anything like this in my life. No one did. The shame is overpowering, impossible to bear.
I had my reasons. I had my reasons. That's all I'm gonna say.
That memory of my father, him just watering his flowers on that warm October day, it was so beautiful. He was so beautiful. It was all vanishing. I couldn't stand to see it vanish like that. So I picked up the hose, slowly walked toward him. Why? Why did it all have to be so goddamn beautiful? Why?
Are you recording this?
Yes, just keep your hands on the wheel.
Well, are you gonna say anything?
As we make our approach, it's difficult not to be affected by the sight of the old prison perched atop the hill, overlooking the old town.
The building looks like an old castle or fort, especially as it towers over you. You have to drive up a long, curvy road around rather treacherous turns along the edge of the river.
Which is why I need you to pay attention to the road.
Oh, right, jeez. Pretty damn good driver, you know.
It is a snowy, gray, and desolately beautiful day. A day of unseasonable cold.
Tell them how the town was submerged in the Great Flood of 1937.
Indeed. The town had to be completely rebuilt when the water receded. As we drive past, one can still see ghostly remnants of old sidewalks, buildings, and the like. But the shape of the town is completely different now. The jail, as I understand it, was totally unaffected by the flood.
Pays to be on higher ground, I guess. We're getting closer. Oh, look, get the camera out. We'll need some shots of that.
All right, one thing at a time. Give me a second. Okay. A lone, dead tree sits on the edge of the hill, overlooking the river next to the jail. Right by a bent guardrail, and a small sign announcing our arrival at the pen. It looks like the site of 1,000 car accidents.
I can't believe we're doing this. This is going to be a hell of a story, I can tell you for sure. None of the other true crime podcasts are doing this story.
Please pay attention to the road.
Here we are.
And here we remain.
But why? Why?
What purpose does it serve?
The Circle of the Seven
that died on the 13th.
Will the circle be unbroken?
Will the circle be unbroken? Well, hey, wait, don't you want to know? Oh, come on, where are you going? Aw, oh, come on back out here. I just want to share with you a quick word about our sponsor, Hims. You know, you can't lock yourself in your room forever. Come on, open up. It happens to a lot of guys. Look, I know, your hairline feels like it's about to cross the Rubicon, and I know you said that your intimate life has become much ado about nothing. But putting yourself in solitary confinement is not what I would call a solution of any kind. But you know, there is a real solution. Actually, there are real solutions, plural. Solutions backed by science. Let's address your hair loss dilemma. You're a young guy. I know what you're thinking. Why is this happening to me now? Well, don't feel so bad. 66% of men lose their hair by age 35. Thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. As I mentioned earlier, there is a solution. 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, skincare, and sexual wellness for men. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. Everything is easy and super confidential. You just answer a few quick questions, a doctor will review and provide a prescription. And products are then shipped directly to your door. And get this, Fireside Mystery Theater listeners can get a trial month of Hims for just $5. Today, right now, while supplies last. All you have to do is go to 4hims.com/fireside for all the details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy. That's forhims.com/fireside. Well, hey there, I knew you'd come around. Look at you. Now that's the face of a guy who's ready to check out forhims.com/fireside. You get it, buddy. Now, back to Seven in the Picture.
We are now outside the jail itself. You may note that a courtroom is built into the ground floor. They actually still hold court service inside, according to our contact here. There is some construction taking place around the entrance. A rather crude handmade sign hanging outside the front doors quotes a rough bastardization of the Golden Rule: treat others as you would want them to treat you.
Oh, hey, but look there.
Huh. Yes, I see what you're referring to. About 10 feet above, you can see through the scaffolding the original quote emblazoned on the entrance in bronze. Lasciate ogni speranza voi ch'entrate. The Latin from Dante's Inferno. Abandon all hope, all ye who enter here.
That can't be for real. People would actually inscribe something like that on a prison entrance?
Well, apparently they did. I gotta have a good shot of that as well.
Just get as many shots of this whole place as you can.
We just have to remember what our editor said. We're getting all kinds of exclusive access to this place, but no photos of the inside, and absolutely no entry to the actual death house. The real chair is way off limits.
I know, I heard. What if we could sneak in somehow and get a photo? Like, just one.
Oh, come on now.
Stop with the judging. We have to get our podcast numbers up if we want to stay in the game. I mean, in case you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a major slump. We have to go that extra mile and take our listeners places they haven't been.
But we'll be in big trouble if we take a photo like that.
No, we won't. Know why?
Why?
Look at this.
Oh, no. What is that? And why would you have such a thing as a screensaver on your phone?
That is a photograph of one Ruth Snyder, a woman who was electrocuted at Sing Sing for the murder of her husband in 1928.
That has to be a fake.
No, it's real. A Daily News reporter was able to somehow sneak in a camera and capture her in mid-electrocution.
I think that's too much. I'm sorry.
Well, you don't have to do it. I have it all figured out.
It's just cruel. Such a cruel, sick joke.
But didn't we already pay?
I mean, they took everything they could take.
You're free to leave at any time, you know.
Yet we all choose to remain.
I want to leave. I want to leave now.
You can't. None of us can. Where would you go after all?
There is nothing comforting about any part of this place. It is freezing cold in this winter weather. It looks like it would be boiling hot in the summer. There is no refuge from the elements, both inside and out. Are you getting good levels?
Yeah, you can keep going.
Okay, let's just get this over with. The warden is definitely going to notice we're missing once that yard fight calms down. Oh, I can't believe I just said that.
Tell them where we are again.
We are inside the death house, where the executions take place. It is a small, brick, hut-like structure that sits away from the main building. There are four main rooms with four separate entrances. An entrance for media and press at the front, which looks into the main execution room through a large glass window. It's about the size of a small classroom. Two rooms on either side are for the family and relations of the condemned and the victim, respectively. They have their own entrances. And it's timed so that the two parties do not cross paths as they enter and exit the death house. The condemned and the execution party enter from their own door at the back into the main chamber, where they are observed by all from three sides.
The condemned.
More like the forgotten.
What does any of it matter?
Why should I care?
I'd like to be remembered.
Me too.
Why?
Because it gets so lonely here.
What are those?
These things? Take a guess.
You obviously know what they are. Enlighten me.
Believe it or not, you are looking at the three electrocution buttons.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, I'm absolutely certain.
But they look just
like... Game show buttons? Yep. I'll take fried felons for 200, Alex.
I don't think that's funny.
You have no sense of humor, lady. Anyway, three people press these separate electrocution buttons for the electric chair, so the actual executioner is technically anyone's guess. They're also rotated in this function on the staff. Back in the day, there was one guard who executed everyone and was known for it. That in itself could be quite the angle for our story, huh?
I remember that man.
We all do.
He gave it to all of us.
He should be in here with us in this room, don't you think?
I'm happier with him not around, I suppose.
I wish all of you would go away.
Well, there's the door. Nothing stopping you. Walk right through it. Well, that's what I thought.
And there it is.
What are you doing?
What I said I was gonna do.
Please, let's not shoot it.
No one is watching.
Please, don't.
It's just an empty chair.
But we shouldn't even be here. We're gonna get in so much trouble. And I have a really bad feeling. Oh, you're horrible.
Thank me when we reach 4 million hits.
Today's the first day I felt free.
Someone has touched us.
We don't deserve such a thing.
Speak for yourself.
They touched us. Another moment I wish I could have forever.
But it's gone.
But it's gone. Yeah. That moment's gone, but us, we're still here, boys.
Slow down, please. The roads are not the greatest, in case you haven't noticed.
I just want to clear out of here, just in case someone saw us. We can't let them take our camera from us.
I still think that was a very rude and insensitive thing to do.
Insensitive to whom, my dear? I just checked the camera again. I just shot the thing and ran without looking.
I saw it earlier. It came out fine. In fact...
What's wrong?
That wasn't there when I looked at it earlier. Did you take another one?
No, just one. I didn't even look through the viewfinder. I just sort of shot it, hoping it would come out.
Something must have happened.
What are you talking about, woman?
It's very blurry.
Oh, crap!
The photo of the electric chair is very blurry. Just as blurry as the men.
The men? What are you talking about?
There's a group of guys here in this photo.
What do you mean? It was just you and me in there.
I didn't see anyone else.
Ugh, hope no one else saw us or we're cooked.
There's 7 men.
Seven? 7 men.
7 men standing in a semicircle around the chair. The picture is too blurry to make out any of their faces, though.
There it stands, sits, waits, just like the many whose fates force them to do just the same, to sit and wait for a truly horrible ending. Shall we look upon this instrument and be reminded what a horrible thing the human imagination can be? 1,200 volts of alternating current shoot through electrodes attached to a crudely built chair, fashioned from what is said to be wood taken from the frames of an old gallows, to deliver a cruel and final punishment. How does a person find their way to this grisly repose? To this particular electric chair? The paths are many and interlaced with, as you'll soon discover, all sorts of unexpected truths. This is Fireside Mystery Theater.
And that concludes 7 in the Picture. Orlando Red Seymour was played by James Reeser. Charles Mitra was played by Eric Davy Gislason. Haskew Dockery was played by Alan LaForest. Milford Lawson was played by James Kleinman. William Moore was played by Michael Pate. James Howard was played by David Linton. Clarence McQueen was played by Gustavo Rodriguez.
The True Crime Podcasters were played by Casey LaForest and Mary Murphy, and the part of the narrator was played by me, Ali Silva. Seven in the Picture was written by Silben Sandovar and Courtney Gillian Cholovich. It was directed by Gustavo Rodriguez and myself. The Electric Chair was produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and me for Fireside Mystery Productions. Research by Courtney Gillian Cholovich provided fodder for our stories, with special thanks to Kentucky Supreme Court Justice Bill Cunningham and the staff of the Kentucky State Penitentiary. Jason Graves composed our theme music. Our musical score was improvised by Noel Carey. Our sound effects designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director at the Slipper Room is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Brontis Shane Orengo. Are you amazed? Fireside crazed? Want to shout out about what you heard today? Itching for the next story? Just can't get enough of that good fireside stuff? Well, we hope you'll take a quick moment to give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Your feedback does a lot to keep the lifeblood flowing for our little production company. And if you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe. You can see what we really look like when you find us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram or Twitter with our handle at Fireside Mystery. And hey, we just set up our very own Patreon page. We're still working out the rewards, bonus content, and all that good stuff, so please bear with us on that. But if you like what we do and want us to keep doing it as much as we want to keep doing it, why not think about becoming our very own Patreon patron? Go to patreon.com/firesidemysterytheater. You can also share your love and support for Fireside with your friends and look fabulous doing it, darling. We have lots of Fireside Mystery Theater swag you can score for yourself or for the dear FMT fan in your life. T-shirts, hoodies, pillows, totes, mugs, notebooks, stickers, all sorts of cool kit with our logo. Lots of great sales pop up all the time. Just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch and browse the goods. Even purveyors of the mysterious need a break every once in a while, so our live show season is currently on summer holiday. But fret not, we'll be releasing content from the season we just wrapped all summer long. Also, as we lead up to our next season of live shows, we shall return to our popular series, The Midnight Reading of Dark Literary Classics. Your fireside fix is always just one click away wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be returning to the Slipper Room in our live and lovely glory with a whole new season of stories starting on Sunday, October 21st. Be on the lookout for tickets on sale at slipperroom.com. Stay tuned, dear listeners, for the next podcast installment from The Electric Chair, Guilty as Charged. If you think you know the mind of a murderer, you may be in for a real shocker. This is your own Ali Silva. I will remind you that between the bright lights, between the electric flashes, there always lives a darkness. Mind the shadows.